Welcome back. The whole relationship between faith and reason, well, theology and philosophy, it's always been complicated,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. Especially within reformational circles. It can get pretty intense.
And that's what we're digging into today. We're looking at Dewey Weird and Vollenhoven, two thinkers back in the 1930s at Amsterdam's Vrije Universiteit.
Right. At the VU. A really interesting period.
Our mission basically is to get a handle on Dewey Weird's view, how he saw theology and philosophy as distinct, and this key idea he had of religious ground motives.
And it wasn't just some abstract debate for them either. The history there is, well, the sources call it fraught and painful.
Fraught and painful, how so?
Well, Dewey Weird and Vollenhoven, they faced real suspicion from their own colleagues in the theology department.
Really? Like open hostility?
Pretty much. Vollenhoven, for example, apparently got some really aggressive pushback on his book, especially his critique of the traditional soul-body dualism.
Okay, so these guys are rocking the boat, philosophically speaking.
You could say that. And it didn't just stay academic.
Right, you mentioned this investigation.
Exactly. Things escalated. Between 1937 and 39, the university's curators, the governing body, they launched this, well, quasi-judicial investigation, led by a theologian, Valentine Hepp.
Wow, an official inquiry into their philosophical work.
Yes. And you can imagine that experience definitely colored how they viewed theologians afterwards, particularly Dewey Weird.
Okay, so how did Dewey Weird react? This is where it gets really key, I
It
think.
really is. He basically drew a very firm line. He just refused to subject philosophical statements to theological scrutiny.
So philosophy stands on its own feet, in his view.
Precisely. He strongly rejected the idea that theologians should examine, core religious beliefs when they're expressed philosophically.
Was Vollenhoven the same?
A bit different, actually. Vollenhoven seemed more willing to, let's say, defend his positions philosophically against theological arguments. He'd still critique historical beliefs philosophically.
Okay.
But Dewey Weird was much more about asserting the independence of philosophy itself.
So if Dewey Weird is pushing back against theological oversight, how did he account for those deep driving beliefs? That's these religious ground motives.
Exactly. That's his core concept for understanding this. Think of them as, well, fundamental pre-theoretical commitments, the absolute bedrock that shapes how we think, how entire cultures think.
Pre-theoretical.
Yeah.
So deeper than conscious reasoning.
Deeper than formal systems, yeah. They're the underlying, often unexamined orientations.
Okay, and the Christian one, what did that look like for him?
He defined it very specifically: creation, fall, and redemption by Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Ghost.
Creation, fall, redemption, that structure.
Right. And he emphasized its Trinitarian nature. You've got God the Father as the origin, the Son, Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit working to transform hearts. He also stressed humanity as the image bearer of his divine origin.
Image bearer. Okay, so that's the Christian ground motive. But he didn't think it was the only one driving Western thought, did he?
Oh, not at all. He contrasted it sharply with others, like the Greek ground motive.
Form and
Yeah,
matter.
that classic duality, the structure versus the stuff. Then there was the medieval scholastic synthesis.
Grace and nature.
Right. Which was itself a kind of synthesis, trying to weave together Greek ideas with Christian revelation. Interestingly, he noted it still allowed for, real sinfulness, unlike maybe a purely Greek view.
And then the Enlightenment.
That brought another fundamental split, according to Dewey Weird, the freedom nature ground motive. This tension between the ideal of the autonomous individual human freedom and the scientific, rational, empirical analysis of nature, a sort of nature versus freedom dichotomy.
So Dewey Weird saw these different ground motives shaping whole epochs of thought, and he was worried about confusing them.
Deeply worried, especially about confusing philosophy and theology as disciplines. He strongly rejected that scholastic idea where theology might sort of crown
Or even
philosophy
replace it.
or even replace it entirely, yeah. He wanted philosophy to operate from its own ground motive, its own integrity, not just be theology's handmaiden, so to speak.
Makes sense. And one other piece, maybe a bit more complex, is his idea of the heart.
Ah, yes, the heart. For Dewey Weird, that's the absolute center of human existence, the religious core.
And he called it supertemporal, outside of time.
He did, which is admittedly one of the more debated aspects of his philosophy. What that exactly means is still discussed by scholars. It points to that deep pre-theoretical root again.
Okay, so wrapping this up, Dewey Weird's big contribution here is really highlighting these fundamental religious ground motives.
Absolutely. Recognizing that these deep orientations shape everything and that the Christian one creation, fall, redemption, offers a unique, coherent way of seeing reality.
It's about understanding the foundations beneath the surface of our thinking.
Precisely. It helps make sense of why different philosophical or cultural outlooks can seem so, well, fundamentally different.
So maybe a final thought for you, the listener. What are the underlying ground motives that might be shaping your perspective, maybe in ways you haven't fully considered?
Yeah, thinking about that fundamental orientation, how it influences how you see everything from science to art to your own life.
Yeah.
It can really open up new insights, can't it?
Definitely something to mull over.